fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. My opening serve on the Sunny Side of Sports is international tennis. Many of the world's top players are in Australia, preparing for the year's first major tournament. The Australian Open begins January 20th in Melbourne. Meanwhile, in Sydney, host Australia and Russia advance to the semifinals of the inaugural ATP Cup Men's Team Tournament on Thursday. Craig Gabriel reports there was some spectacular tennis on display in Australia's largest city.
The atmosphere was at fever pitch, and the tennis that was played was mesmerizing as Australia defeated Great Britain 2-1 to reach the semis of the ATP Cup. Nick Kyrgios, on his very best behavior, easily defeated Brit Cam Norrie 6-2, 6-2. Then Dan Evans stopped Alex de Minaur 7-6, 4-6, 7-6.
It was great. That's why I play sport, is for occasions like that. I enjoyed it. You know, it hurt a bit, but I enjoyed every minute of it out there, and hopefully everyone in the crowd enjoyed it as well. And I was just proud to put a point on the board for the guys, and then hopefully, well, we obviously didn't, but it was hopefully to go out there and get the win and win the tie, but, you know, it's the way it goes.
This was the start of an afternoon where the tennis defied belief. The returns and winners lifted with every point they played. Match points were saved by the young Aussies as neither gave an inch. The crowd put goosebumps on goosebumps. And while the records will show that Evans won, you really felt both were victorious. So the tie came down to the deciding doubles and the third set match tiebreak. Kyrgios and de Minaur backed up and played again and faced Joe Salisbury and Jamie Murray. The Brits had a total of 4 match points as things reached deafening levels. The tension never let up, and in the end, the Aussies won 18-16. They'll play Spain or Belgium in the semis. Then, under the lights, Russia accounted for Argentina as Karen Khachanov beat an emotional Guido Pella 6-3, 7-6, and then Daniel Medvedev accounted for Diego Schwartzman 6-4, 4-6, 6-3.
We made our job. All the matches were won in singles, which is amazing. And I think only Spain did the same so far. So it's really great. We play great with Karen. Hopefully we can go all the way. But I'm really happy with the way ATP Cup is going for Team Russia.
Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Sydney.
Thanks, Craig. In Brisbane, Australia, world number one Ash Barty's new year started with an upset loss. The 23-year-old Aussie fell to American qualifier Jennifer Brady in straight sets 6-4 and 7-6 at the Brisbane International Tennis Tournament. Our VOA tennis fans will remember Ash Barty won her first major title at last year's French Open. Let's give a belated Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Christian Chukwu, the former captain of Nigeria's national football team. Chukwu celebrated his 69th birthday on January 4th. Nicknamed the Chairman, Chukwu captained Nigeria to its first African Nations Cup title in 1980. During a conversation with Iron Mike Mbonye, Chukwu talked about getting his start in football.
Well, it's a long story, my brother, because it started from the primary school to secondary school, you know, to club side, to academics, and to the national team, and to the present day. So it's not a small journey. Even though my parents were not in agreement to all this, but eventually they have to succumb due to they cannot do anything again, and their name is being heard all over the world.
Let's also look at your playing career. You played for a famous club in Nigeria, Rangers International of Enugu. You also played for the national team and captained the national team, captain Rangers. What was it like? Can you reflect on in those days while you were playing for the club and playing for the national team?
It was not easy, but those days, you know, we are playing completely amateur football, and it's the talent you have. It's not like nowadays, whether you know your parents buy boots for you and so on. Those days, if your parents see you play football, you're in trouble. So it's just like musicians and every other. So it's really tough. I thank God I was able to achieve it, because I started from primary school, as I told you, to club level and to Rangers, then became the captain of the club. From Rangers, retired playing, coached Rangers, you know, and from there, I went on to the Super Eagles, you know. The rest are history.
Chairman, let's look at your playing career. Playing for Rangers, playing for Green Eagles. Can you recall some of the big names and great names you and them played together? What was it like playing with those names for Rangers, for Green Eagles?
In those days, we played like people like Shego Debami, Emmanuel Okala in the Rangers. Where should I start and where should I end? You know, we played even Cameroon, Roger Miller's them, you know, and so on. My colleagues then are many. If I can remember all of them, somebody like Stanley Okolonkwo, Nwabeze Nwankwo, Adoki Amesi Meka, a lot of them, even the Kunla Wesudem, and so on and so forth, Otubusin, and a lot of them, Letru Mudalawa, and a host of them. I cherish them, I love them, and by then we played, we are friendly, we played a very good game. We represent the country very well, and I'm happy. Even though we did not make money, but we made name.
That's Christian Chukwu, the former captain of Nigeria's football team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Enugu, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
South Sudan recently hosted a wheelchair basketball tournament to promote peace and inclusion for disabled athletes. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Ding Magot reports from Juba.
All right, bounce pass, guys. Go!
The competition was aimed at showing that sports can bring disabled players from different states together to have some fun and nurture peace. At the same time, the Wheelchair Basketball Association was formed in Nairobi in 2015. It became more professional in South Sudan in 2017. It is the first year South Sudan included a women's wheelchair basketball team in the competition. The female stars defeated a team called Salam with a score of 6-0. On the men's side, Yirol beat the Juba team with a score of 22-12. The winning teams won silver and gold medals. 19-year-old James Amaudi Makwey, captain of the Yirol team who has been playing since 2017, says playing basketball gives him the courage to tackle other challenges in his life and alleviates stress.
ICRC have motivated us, people of Yirol, very much. They have contributed the court. Now they have constructed the court in Yirol, so we always play. So from today after this training, we will return and then pull off the training. So we will be practicing the things that the coach Malad and Jace taught us.
Both of Makwe's legs became paralyzed when he was 6 years old when he fell sick from symptoms similar to malaria. A 40-year-old woman who wants to be identified only as Mary from Western Equatoria says she heard about the competition when she went to the Union of Disability and registered for a tournament. She says when she returns to Western Equatoria, she will train people with disabilities how to play wheelchair basketball.
My heart is full of joy, and I met a lot of wheelchair basketballers from different states. So I'm happy because this will be a step to peace building. when you are meeting some people from different states.
Speaking in Arabic, 29-year-old Nejiwa Sirisho says before she joined wheelchair basketball, she was confined to her home, but now she's gaining mental and physical strength from the exercise.
In the past, I was confined doing domestic work. When I finish homework, I will take a seat and mend, also eat. But when I learned there was basketball for the disabled, it gives me courage and it's even an exercise for me. If I now don't do exercise, I don't realize feel well.
25-year-old South Sudanese wheelchair basketball coach Malatwe, one of the top wheelchair basketball in the United States, is a South Sudanese-American who traveled from Juba to the western U.S. state of Arizona, where he plays at the University of Arizona. He has also played for 1 year professionally in France. When Wei was 3 years old, where he grew up in Boma, he was diagnosed with polio and woke up one day to find he couldn't walk. He says his parents dug a narrow hole and placed him in the hole every day to try to straighten his legs. During the conflict, Wei's parents moved to Dima refugee camp, where he had no wheelchair, so he would crawl to get around. In 2006, he moved to Washington, D.C. with his family.
I was introduced to basketball when I was in elementary school, and I was a very shy kid, because when I first got to America, I did not know how to speak English or knew how to make friends. So I would just go to the park in my wheelchair, and I would see all the kids just playing and playing and playing. And then one day, I was like, wow, I can actually do that. I saw some kids just playing basketball, and I saw some kids playing soccer. Then I went to basketball. A kid threw me a basketball, and I shot it.
With his 14 years of experience, Wade says he is able to train players to reach their full potential for the Paralympics.
So far, we are not a developed team that can compete at a higher level. So we are just training right now. We are just developing and conditioning their mind to do the right techniques, to shoot the right way, how to push the chair, how to turn the chair, and how to play defense in the chair. Like, so these players right now, they don't know how to do that. So my goal and my dream and my mission is to train them how to shoot properly and how to play defense properly.
ICRC Disability Sports and Inclusion Advisor James Mark from the western city of Denver, Colorado, became a paralegic after an accident as a high jumper with the University of Oregon track team. The 42-year-old says he has helped with wheelchair sports programs in Cambodia, India, Palestine, Ethiopia, and now South Sudan.
We also want to establish among the community that people with physical disabilities are capable of much more than maybe what they have been led to believe or what society assumes about them. So we would like to see them take what they're learning in basketball and show that they can also have a job or run a business or go to school and really improve. We want them to expand their experience off the court so that whether they have a full-time job or run a business or go to higher education, that they're experiencing the full inclusion.
Deputy Head of Delegation at the ICRC, Katia Lawrence, says physical rehabilitation programs have helped to improve the mobility of people with disabilities.
In 2018, in the three centers that we are supporting, we have admitted no less than 720 patients, clients, fitting them with different kinds of prosthesis, which equals to about two people admitted every single day, which is quite remarkable, which probably doesn't even go anywhere near the number of people living in parts of South Sudan.
The chairperson of South Sudan Special Olympics, Rebecca Joshua Okwachi, says this year South Sudan participated in the Special Olympics World Games in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and South Sudan players won gold medals for the 100 and 200 meter races.
So far, we have four athletes who participated in the international games in Dubai, and they got medals. This is South Sudan, so we are recruiting early this year. Some of them cannot even talk, but they can run like nobody. And parents and families are encouraged to bring them out. In our communities, we hide them, and we feel ashamed when they are there. But I just want to encourage the families that bring them out give them a chance and we can support that and they will change and you will be surprised that your own child is changed.
The ICRC says wheelchair basketball competition will end stigma in communities that exclude physically disabled people in the country when they see their potential on the basketball court. For VOA News, I'm Dingma Gott in Juba.
This is Dikeme Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net. Thanks to Kembe. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson joins us now with a spicy package of American-style football news. And Jim says he'll be kicking off with an NFL quarterback who has been described as maybe the greatest of all time.
I would say it's pretty unlikely.
New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, at age 42, indicates he's not ready to retire and will play again in the next National Football League season. But Brady and the defending Super Bowl champions are finished for this season after a rare playoff defeat at home. The Tennessee Titans were 20-13 winners.
It's a results business, and it's about winning and losing, and the more things you do right and well, better chance you have to win. And, we just didn't do enough things right.
Brady will become a free agent at the end of the current season after spending 20 years with the Patriots. After the game, head coach Bill Belichick refused to discuss the possibility of the club offering a new contract to Brady.
Right now, we just finished the game, so we're focused on this game. Okay.
Brady is thankful to have had such a long run at New England and win 6 Super Bowl titles.
There's nobody who's had a better career, I would say, than me, just being with them. So I'm very blessed, and I don't know what the future looks like, and I'm not going to predict it.
Also winning on the road were the Seattle Seahawks, 17-9 winners over the Philadelphia Eagles. Seattle coach Pete Carroll was happy with running back Marshawn Lynch, who was brought back to the team for the final regular season game and playoffs. He last scored a touchdown for Seattle 4 years ago. He scored a crucial touchdown against the Eagles, and Coach Carroll is looking for more out of the man known as Beast Mode.
Marshawn will play more. He's going to play more this week, and he's ready to, and he's had enough time with us, and he feels confident about what he's doing and the plan that we can get him in and out of there, and he feels great. He's doing fine, so I don't know if it's a plan. I think he had great wisdom. I don't know. We were taking this one day at a time, and it's been nothing but positive. And give all the credit to Marshawn for the way he's attacked this thing. He's really gone for it. He's doing everything you guys would hope, our fans would hope he would do. He's trying to be everything in all aspects of it.
The Houston Texans held on at home in overtime to beat the Buffalo Bills 22-19. Texans head coach Bill O'Brien is ready to take his team to Kansas City and play the Chiefs.
You know, this team is a very resilient team. I think that, these guys really understand the opportunity in front of them, and they understand what it's going to take, in Arrowhead Stadium against a great football team. We feel like we have a good football team. We feel like if we have a good week of practice that we go up there, we'll be in a very competitive ball game. But I think these guys are very appreciative of the opportunity, and they're going to do everything they can to try to take advantage of it.
O'Brien is amazed by his quarterback, Deshaun Watson.
I think that when you get kicked in the eye and you still are able to complete a touchdown pass, I'm not sure that you can surpass that.
He says winning is the result of the entire team doing its job.
It's all about the players. It's a players' league. Players make plays. Coaches guide. Try to put them in the best position to make plays, and then the players have to go out there and do it. And coaching's important. Like, don't get me wrong, but players making plays like that, that's kind of what it's all about.
Not getting the job done at home in New Orleans were the Saints.
It was a fairly low-scoring, tight game throughout, they made more plays than we did.
New Orleans coach Sean Payton and his team suffered a tough 26-20 loss in overtime to the visiting Minnesota Vikings.
You tip your hats to Minnesota that they They deserve to win. And it's always difficult when it happens in the playoffs. You know, there's no follow-up game.
Minnesota coach Mike Zimmer is hoping his experienced veterans do well in their follow-up game against the San Francisco 49ers.
A lot of the guys that are here were here before, and so I feel like they're a veteran team. They understand. We actually had a couple guys saying, hey, calm down in the locker room. We got to get ready to go play again. So I'm hopeful that it's like that.
Quarterback Kirk Cousins led an overtime winning drive that featured his only touchdown pass of the game to Kyle Rudolph. Rather than silencing his critics, Cousins went for the team approach.
I'm just thrilled we won a playoff game. I just do my part. We won the game today because we played great defense. We got a turnover. We had good special teams. We had great play calling. We had a great plan. Protected. We ran the football. We probably had 35, 40 rushing attempts. There's a whole lot of reasons we won the game. Does the quarterback play a role in that? Yes, but it was a team win.
Now for the Vikings, a quick turnaround before facing San Francisco.
You know, it's similar to playing a Monday night game, and then you got to get ready for a Sunday game. Obviously, we're going out to the West Coast, so that'll be a little bit different, but hey, it's playoff time. It's big boy football now.
The biggest of the big boys in the NFL's 100th season will face off in Super Bowl 54, February 2nd in Miami. The championship of U.S. college football is just days away as the hype continues to build around top-ranked Louisiana State and defending national champion Clemson. It's a clash of two undefeated teams, both known as the Tigers, as LSU coach Ed Orgeron is trying to keep the atmosphere grounded.
I said every week they work towards this goal, and now it's our time to play our best football. The only way we play our best football is focus on the fundamentals and the task at hand on a daily process. We can't make this game bigger than life. Obviously, it is a big game. We all know that goal, but it's about playing LSU standard performance, and that's all it's going to be. We're not going to make it bigger than life.
Coach O, as he's known, has Joe Burrow, a senior quarterback who won the Heisman Trophy as the best player in college football this season. But Coach O is looking hard at Clemson's sophomore quarterback, who ran past a tough Ohio State team in the semifinals.
Trevor Lawrence, the way I thought he took the game in his hand, when he made some big plays on that quarterback draw, and the runs he makes. They're winners. I think it's 29 games in a row on defense. They're fast. It's going to be a challenge. It'll be a good challenge.
Trevor Lawrence says carrying the ball has been an increasingly larger part of his game.
I've always known I can run a little bit, but I think that's something I've really gotten better at and I've improved at since last year, which is being able to impact the game a little bit more that way.
His big advantage is having led Clemson to last year's national title as an undefeated freshman.
I've been there before, so it's not as, I know what to expect more, but it's a different place, it's a different team. We're a different team, so everything's different, but just having that experience of playing in a national championship definitely is something that, you take a little comfort in, just knowing that you've been there, kind of know what to expect.
Clemson remains undefeated and also unchanged. Lawrence says the team's approach to each game.
Obviously, we're playing really good teams now, and it doesn't change anything for us, so we still prepare the same way, and I think that's the biggest thing is just staying consistent and doing what we've done. And just because we're playing someone else doesn't mean we need to change.
He says Clemson senior players have a chance to accomplish something very rare in college football.
All the ones that we've won, these seniors have been there for, so really special for them if we win this game to go out. Three national championships is, it's pretty unique.
The Tigers play the Tigers in New Orleans, Louisiana, January 13th.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. And I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out Jim's weekly Game Room podcast via voanews.com. And that wraps up the January 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists have predicted that two of the several dozen dwarf galaxies now orbiting the Milky Way will eventually collide and merge with our galaxy. Recent studies suggest the Large Magellanic Cloud could crash into our galaxy in about 2.5 billion years. New research presented at a recent meeting of the American Astronomical Society proposes that this approaching collision is already producing new stars in the far reaches of the Milky Way that is usually populated by the galaxy's oldest stars. An analysis of a cluster of these young stars suggests that they have an extragalactic origin and were probably formed with material from the Magellanic Clouds. The research also finds that a stream of gas spreading from the dwarf galaxies is about half the distance of colliding with the Milky Way than previously thought. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.